Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You've always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me. O God of my salvation, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Lead me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. Yet I'm confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. All of Psalm 27. Thank you, Lord, for the power, the grace, the wisdom, the anointing, the mercy that fills and permeates your word. And thank you, Lord, for the grace and power and blessing that flows into our hearts and our minds as we fill our hearts and our lives with your word. Help us to grow an understanding of the need for us to live in your word, to walk in its wisdom, to consume it daily, and to basically live a lifestyle of sitting at your feet, listening, learning, and following you. Thank you for the privilege of doing just that, being a part of your family, a part of your army, and a part of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, you are where our help comes from. You are our source of strength. You are our provider. You are even our source of wisdom, Father. So Father, I ask that you teach us how to better look towards you. Father, I ask that we would walk more in faith, that we would depend on your goodness even more, Father. Thank you so much for guiding us. Thank you so much for teaching us. And in these moments, we just want to spend time with you and learn more about you. Thank you so much. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. We are very honored to have as our in-studio guest today in this first segment, Debbie Edge. She's the author of a children's book entitled A Piece of Abner's Heart. And it's a book that explains about the tragedy of 9/11 that happened many years ago. Sister Debbie, good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
All right. Would you take a moment just to tell our listeners a little bit more about you? And you're going to dive right in after that and read through the book.
Okay. When 9/11 hit, I was actually a second grade teacher at North Pontotoc Elementary School. Mm-hmm. So on the first anniversary, I was trying to find information. I wanted to tell the children and explain it to them, but it just wasn't there. Mm. And so God laid it on my heart. I mean, literally laid it on my heart that I needed to write this book so that my children, my babies, would understand.
It's so good to listen to the Lord. It really is.
It really is, I'm telling you. Mm. So I started, and I knew that I could not tell the story in the eyes of a person, especially a child, for them to understand it. Okay. So I thought, what better way can you tell a story than through the eyes of a white cat that lived on the streets of New York City? We had, my husband and I had been to New York many, many times, and we had been to the top of the towers two different times. And I always told my children, when we got to the top one time, we looked over the street, down on the streets of New York City, and there was a small plane flying underneath us, and we were looking on top of the plane. Of course, that just amazes them.
So the Lord really prepared you to do this specific task.
He really did. And the thing about it, the year before when we were in New York, before it happened, I found a map. We had a map of the streets of New York City. And I knew that everything that I said in this book needed to be geographically correct. If he went up, if he went down, and if he went over to. So I found that map in one of our drawers, and I geographically wrote it.
Well, I want you to go ahead and dive right in.
Okay.
And we want to hear the story, A Piece of Abner's Heart.
Okay. The day was September the 11th, the year 2001. In New York City, a sunny day had just begun. Traffic was moving slowly up and down the streets, while crowds of people hurried for appointments to keep. Massive buildings raising their beams to the sky made Abner look small as he passed by. Now, time didn't mean a lot to him, you see, because he was a fat white cat, as content as could be. And I always stop and tell the children here, and I'll say, now, what color is Abner on this book? And they'll say, oh, Miss Debbie, he's white. And I said, yes, he's white. But I said, and I'll hold Abner up in front of him, and I'll say, Abner, what color is Abner now? And they'll say, he's not white anymore, Miss Debbie. And I said, I'm going to tell you why he's not white anymore. His adventures would take him up Canal Street to search in Chinatown for something good to eat. His nose he held up high in the air. He knew from the smell that food would be there. He spied tuna, salmon, and flounder. Oh, yes, he couldn't decide which would taste best. As fish were sliding from the table to the floor, Abner could contain himself not 1 minute more. He saw nothing but brooms as he was shooed from each place, but he knew he would leave with a smile on his face. While dodging and darting, he could hear the people say, fat cat, get out of my way. Go back where you came from, you old white cat. They shouldn't let the cats roam the streets like that. So back down Canal Street to Broadway he'd go. With his stomach so full, he'd move quite slow. Battery Park was his next place to stop, to watch squirrels scamper and rabbits hop. Out in the harbor is where Lady Liberty stands, a reminder of freedom shared by every man. So sauntering around for the right place to snooze, a bench was by the water was the perfect place to choose. While lying there peacefully, gazing through the trees, the Trade Center towers were all he could see. These structures loomed above everything in sight, like a bright shining star in the dark of the night. The towers are a symbol of our world peace, a nation of freedom that shall never cease. Now Abner prepared to do what he did best, stretched out on the bench for a nice long rest. When all of a sudden a sound ripped through the air, he sprang from his place, only able to stare. Two airplanes like bombers ripped the towers apart, and it was on this day that Abner lost a piece of his heart. Then under the park bench he shivered and shook, too afraid to move, so he stayed just to look. Sirens were screaming and people running everywhere as billows of smoke rose up high in the air. Dust and ashes began falling to the ground, and someone yelled out, "The buildings are falling down!" This great landmark that stood before him so tall was now only a pile of rubble in no time at all. Brave policemen and firefighters worked tirelessly, strongly focused on setting all the victims free. Clouds of white powder drifted when the wind began to blow, and all of Manhattan appeared to be dusted with snow. Abner knew it was time now to leave his hiding place as he passed thousands of people, each covering their face. He was no longer a white cat, now just a dingy gray, always to remember what he had witnessed that day. The buildings, his fear, and the terrible loss on the 11th of September on that first frost. Abner's wiser and braver today as he goes through the streets of Manhattan, yet different he knows. The world he once lived in, full of laughter and fun, in one brief moment was changed for everyone. Abner's heart, which was broken, continues to beat, for the spirit of his great country will show no defeat. For in the land of the free and the home of the brave, Abner realized, oh glory, will stand forever and wave.
Amen. And that's the end of the book.
That's the end of the book.
Sister Debbie, that's powerful. That's very powerful. And a beautiful way to introduce a very tough topic to children. And I think clearly the Lord gave you a strategy for writing the book and sharing it. And you really draw a lot of emotion into the pictures you paint through the book. So thank you again for coming on and sharing.
Thank you. Okay. And I have lesson plans. I go to schools and read, and I have lesson plans for the teachers to use with the book.
Well, if someone wants to get a copy of the book, how can they do that?
They can go to debmedge@gmail.com.
So that's your email?
That's my email.
For them to email you to get a copy then?
Yes.
Okay.
Or they can go to buddyedge@bellsouth.net and find it, get it there.
Okay.
Also, you could call me at 662-678-3407.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming today and sharing that. That's a powerful book, beautiful book, and I think it can be a blessing to a lot of children and adults as they listen to the story as you've laid it out. Such a powerful account as you've laid it out in the book. Father, thank you, Lord, for Sister Debbie Edge, and thank you for placing it on her heart to write such a book, and thank you for a tool like this to use to minister insight and understanding to children from a children's point of view. Lord, use this as a tool for your glory and the building of your kingdom, and Lord, use it to remind people of the fact that, Lord, we desperately need you individually, as families, as communities, as states, and as a nation. And thank you, Father, for your grace. It was your grace and mercy at work, and it was because of that many more people didn't die that day, because even though so many died, it could have been so much worse. But your mercy and your grace worked mightily through that story. And the many, many testimonies we've heard down through the years, stories of people who survived and stories of people who didn't survive, yet your grace and mercy was working mightily. So we thank you for your hand of grace, your hand of protection, your hand of mercy. Lord, thank you for us as your church. Stir us as your church to continue to draw closer to you, to trust you, and to be bold witnesses for you, knowing that Jesus always has been and always will be the answer to all the world's problems. And help us to always let that message be known to this world. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Can I beat this? Can I crack this circle? this heart of mine, it's you. It's you, Lord, it's you. Then everything else just falls in line.
Music of Toby Mac with It's You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. The book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, it tells us these words. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone. Just for fun, let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll fill our houses with all the stuff we take. Come, throw in your lot with us. We'll all share the loot. My child, don't go along with them. Stay away from their paths. They rush to commit evil deeds. They hurry to commit murder. If a bird sees a trap being set, it knows to stay away. But these people set ambush for themselves. They are trying to get themselves killed. Such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. Verses 1 through 19, Proverbs chapter 1. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we were grateful to have Miss Debbie Edge share, the author of the book entitled A Piece of Abner's Heart. And I hope it was of encouragement and a blessing to you. And again, if you want information about getting a copy of it, please get in touch with us. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. We're honored to have with us for the balance of the broadcast is Patty Pumphrey. She's a college professor. She teaches at a secular university, a Christian university, and I don't know how many other hats she wears, but she's a servant of the Lord in many ways. Patty, good to have you with us today.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
Great to have you with us here. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a few further moments to introduce yourself. And we're grateful to have you with us to share about just some of your journey as a Christian who's a college professor as well. So if you'll take a moment just to further introduce yourself, please do it this time.
Okay. Well, I've been a college professor for several years. I've been in education my whole life, it feels like. I've been teaching a long time. And as I have begun to teach in college, I've noticed a lot of different things. I worked in the secondary and elementary level before I taught in the college level. And I wanted to come today because I really wanted to encourage and ask that your listeners begin to pray for this generation. Mm-hmm. A lot of things are happening in this generation that are different than I have seen in students before.
Well, as we dive into this, before you kind of move forward, would you pray for listeners to have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them? Because there are different messages that God will share with listeners and that they would hear and receive everything God wants them to hear and learn today.
Okay, Lord, I just pray that you would ignite the ears of the listeners of this broadcast, that, Lord, they would be motivated to know that there is something they can do. There is something that they can do to impact this generation, and that would be to pray. Lord, I believe in prayer. I know that you can change things. I know, Lord, that you hear our prayers and that you are faithful to answer our prayers, Lord. So I just pray that they would feel, Lord, that they can be an important tool by just coming into intercession for this generation. In your name, amen.
And, you know, Sister Patty, something I would just mention is that, like, in my having had opportunities to have conversations with you, one thing I picked up, I feel like you're really a missionary on school campuses. And yet it's helpful, I think, for us as believers to recognize that in the truest sense of the word, every believer is to be a missionary.
Absolutely.
Because we're to be sent into the places God calls us to represent him, to be a witness for Christ, a bold witness for Christ, and to be an instrument he can use to minister to those around us. So, but if you'll just dive right in and share what's on your heart today.
Okay. You know, this generation is called Generation Z, and they're born between 1997 and 2012. And
Generation Z, you said?
Generation
okay.
Z. And they are a unique generation. They're different than any generation that's lived before because they're digital natives. They've mm-hmm. grown up the entire time with internet, and their lives are completely different than any generation before. They are have seen some really interesting things in their lives. When they were young children, 9/11 happened, and it's wonderful that we had that story read this morning because that did impact their lives, impacted all of our lives.
That's right.
And they grew up with this innate fear of something tragic that happened in America. And mm-hmm. it did. It was something tragic. So I think that may be a basis of some of what we're seeing in these kids. They also experienced a Great Recession, right? In 2007 to 2009, there was a lot of hardship, financial hardships for families as they were growing up. So mm-hmm. they've experienced that. That has maybe produced a little bit of fear in them. They then got to experience COVID. And the shutdowns and the lockdowns, and it has left them really afraid. We have a generation of kids who are very afraid of life and afraid of what to do and making mistakes. And so,
and a significant number of them, which they missed their graduations because of COVID.
They did. And this has set all of them academically behind. I cannot tell you the deficit that I see in their education because of COVID. It's quite substantial. They are more likely to go to college, but they are slower to make a decision about a career. They're really timid and afraid of jumping out and making decisions. They don't interact with each other very much. I'll have a whole classroom full of kids, and they won't talk to each other. They all look at their phones. They don't speak to each other at all, which is unusual. College used to be this really social place, and it's not.
Before you go further, would you pray about that? Because that's how tragic that because of electronic technology, people will choose to dive into a world, an artificial world, instead of interacting and building relationships and getting to know each other better. Would you pray for people to, by God's grace, to see beyond that? Because we're to love people. And part of that means interacting with them and communicating with them as well.
Lord, I just pray that you would release these kids from this addiction to technology. Lord, that you would move by the Spirit of God upon them and that they would be freed from this addiction. Lord, I know that it's easier to look at your phone than it is to risk talking to someone else. But I pray for courage. And I pray that, Lord, you would help these young people, these young adults, Lord, reach out to each other and Father, that you would just alleviate them from this addiction to technology in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Now, do you think this is going to lead to, the Lord might be leading you to write a book about this maybe?
I don't know. I hadn't thought about that.
Well, you can start praying about that right after we're done with the broadcast.
Okay.
You know?
All right. That sounds
but
great.
Go right ahead though.
Okay. So the other thing I've observed is that they are slow to date. They are not dating each other. They don't interact with each other very much. A lot of them don't believe they will get married. They're considering it, but they don't really expect it. They don't expect children. And this is a strange behavior, especially for college students. There's a lot of depression. Depression is a real problem in this age bracket. A lot of them struggle with addiction to antidepressants. A lot of them have been on antidepressants for a long time. There's a lot of anger and frustration in these students. I think that they don't feel valued. And I don't know why that has happened to this generation. Maybe because of abortion, because they've grown up very comfortable with the idea of abortion. It was a law until just recently. And so they just don't feel like they're of that much value. they are something that could have been thrown away and disposed of. So that may have impacted them.
I want to take a moment to pray about that specifically. Okay. Lord, thank you for the fact that we, your church, are the body of Christ. We're your hands and feet in this world, and you've called us to be a witness of your love, a witness of your mercy, a witness of your grace. Father, anoint the church with a fresh anointing that would cause us to be effective at carrying out the work you've called us to, the work of making disciples, even in a generation where it appears that it's especially tough. Lord, I thank you for the fact that your Holy Spirit knows what to do. He knows how to reach any and everyone. Yes. Help us to be a church that's wisely listening to the Holy Spirit about strategy as to how to reach even into difficult places and to reach people that may seem a little bit harder to reach. And Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of mercy and compassion. Lord, help us to have compassion for these generations of young people who may feel lonely, feel isolated, feel unloved, and feel unwanted. Help us to be faithful ambassadors for your kingdom, sharing the love of Jesus with a world that desperately needs it. We thank you and praise you. And Lord, help us to hear that individually. Help us to know, Lord, that your Holy Spirit knows how to use every single one of us wonderfully to reach people, just like you reached the woman at the well, someone who felt isolated and felt unloved, but you reached her because you followed the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to learn to listen to your word and your spirit and be well-equipped vessels you can use to reach a world that needs your love, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. 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 Go right ahead there.
I really believe that this generation is perfectly poised to receive a revival from the Lord, to be impacted by the Holy Spirit. They are looking for the real, for the authentic. They are looking for something moral, something pure. And it's something that they've not grown up with. They've had a lot of tragedy and fearful things happen in their lifetimes. And they are really looking for the Spirit of the Lord. I want to tell you, just after COVID hit, we had an association to meet, and you gave me a Psalms 91 bookmark. And I noticed the following year that there was a lot of hostility in my classroom. There is. There's a lot of hostility in this generation. A lot of kids are very frustrated and angry. I'm not sure they could tell you why, but they are. And I took that bookmark with me. I love that it's a bookmark because teachers can just slide it into wherever because that's a normal thing for teachers to have books. So I did. I put it into my attendance book. And I took it into the classroom with me. And it was a particularly difficult semester. We wore masks part of the semester, and then the rest of the time we got away from masks. And it was just a really tense time for me. So I took that bookmark, and I began to, as the students were working on projects that I had given them, I began to pray that scripture, those scriptures, over my classroom. And I prayed it over individual students that I was having difficulties with. I prayed it over students that were so quiet and withdrawn that they wouldn't interact. I just began to pray it over the students. And I'm telling you, praying the Word of God is so important. It just changed the spiritual atmosphere, changed the entire spiritual atmosphere of that classroom. So I want to really encourage the listeners to know that your prayers matter. And
That's right.
As you begin to pray, things will change. And that this is not a lost generation. This generation can and will be saved if we will undergird them with prayer and believe God for the best to happen in their lives.
You know, I really appreciate you sharing that. And I'm believing the Lord that every listener will take to note what you've shared, because you know, one of the ways the devil will try to discourage prayers, he'll try to tell us, oh, your prayers don't accomplish anything. He'll try to every day whisper, oh, that didn't do anything. Now, one of the reasons he does that is because he's terrified of prayer and of believers that know how to pray. And so, and praying Psalm 91 is so wise every day because it's such a strategic, powerful spiritual weapon for us to be praying every day. So I'm glad to know that you put it to work and prayed it over your students, and probably whether they perceived it or not, all of them probably recognized God's grace working in their way in a greater way as a result of you praying. So thank you for sharing that, though. So,
amen.
And so, Father, thank you, Lord, for Sister Patty. Thank you, Lord, for every college professor that loves you and wants to be a witness for you on school campuses. Raise up more and more teachers and professors on all our school campuses who will be bright, shining witnesses and torches for the Lord Jesus Christ, shining in such a way that children will see the love of God flowing through their words, their actions, their attitude, that help them to carry themselves in such a way that the Holy Spirit will just be burning so brightly on them that kids will just be drawn to them. And they'll want whatever that professor has or that teacher has, whether they realize it or not. And more help our teachers to know, Lord, that great is the influence they can have to touch every young person they come in contact with. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our in-studio guest today is Patty Pomfrey. She's a Christian professor on both the secular and a Christian campus. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard a love song that set your spirit free? Have you ever watched a sunrise and felt you could not breathe? What if it's Him?
Music of Mandisa with God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Patty Pomfrey. She is a college professor on serves on both a secular campus and a Christian campus as well. And grateful that you're with us today. Patty, would you pray for believers to be bold witnesses in whatever context the Lord has called them to, whether it's on the college campus or wherever else it might be, but would you pray that believers would become bold witnesses for Christ wherever He has planted them?
Absolutely. Lord, I thank you that you give each of us a unique calling for a job, Lord, that there's a job that all of us do, but it's not our main job, Lord. It's how we make money, but our main job, God, is to be a missionary for you, to be a witness for you. And whatever vocation we are in, Lord, we are to be your representatives. So I pray, Lord, for a new spirit of boldness for the listeners and for myself even to just boldly share the gospel with the people that are around us in whatever vocation we are. I thank you for that. Give us the courage, Lord, to stand up and be representatives for you in the name of the Lord.
And Father, I do thank you for the opportunity you give every one of us absolutely every day of our lives to be witnesses for you. Father, help us to be wise enough to pray prayers such as the prayer of Jabez every day and the prayer of Isaiah as well, Lord. And Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to pray prayers like that, whereby we let you know that we're asking you to use us more and more. Thank you, Lord, for every believer listening and all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Bless each and every one of us this day. Indeed. Expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon each of us. Keep us from evil that we may not cause pain. In Jesus' name. And Lord, like Isaiah, we pray today as well, Lord, here we are. We're available. Send each one of us on many miracle missions today. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, Patty, I think of this, that the ministry, like, for example, FCA is a wonderful ministry that is on many campuses, both high school campuses as well as college campuses as well, and ministries such as Campus Crusade for Christ. I guess they're still around. I hadn't heard from them lately, but a number of other ministries that work on school campuses. Yet, even beyond that, God can use any individual mightily that wants to be a wise and a faithful witness. What encouragement would you share with people, especially those, both students as well as professors on campuses? How would you encourage them to be witnesses on their school campuses?
You know, it's sometimes a very political atmosphere, academia is. And so a lot of times we self-censor what we think we should or should not say because we don't want to offend anybody. However, I really believe that living your life before young people, living your life out before young people, having integrity, speaking the truth, being honest, being kind, just being kind helps, right? Mm-hmm. Going that extra mile for the student, those things speak volumes because I don't believe that, because of social media, I don't believe that young people believe everything that they hear. Mm-hmm. I think that they believe what they actually see happening. Because so much of social media is just this perfect picture of what you want people to see, but it's not reality, right? And so I think being honest and just living your life out before people and having integrity before your students, those things will really greatly impact them.
Mm. And I think of this too, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 lets us know, it's only 13 verses, but it's such a powerful passage to read, but one of the scriptures within those 13 verses tells us love never fails, and God is love. And so when we're willing to live in such a way that we allow the love of God to work through the words we speak, through our actions, our attitude, the way we interact with people, again, the Holy Spirit speaks powerfully through us in that regard. And so all of us, when we walk in the love of God, the kindness of God, the Holy Spirit will use that every day, every single day. So... And something I would want to challenge each and every one of us to be mindful of is this, that as we just prayed about, we all need to be bold witnesses because the fact is the devil uses intimidation and fear against everyone, and he's going to try to shut all of our witnesses down through the use of fear and intimidation. Yet being willing to be bold witnesses is very, very important. And so it's important that we're thinking along that line and living along that line as well. So, Isaac, did you want to share something?
This is a little bit off topic from being bold witnesses, but you've mentioned a few times how this generation is kind of primed for revival. And we know what it takes to have a revival. We have the cheat sheet. Humble yourselves. Pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Humble yourself. Realize that we can't manage. We can't fix all the problems on our own. We are in God's world. He's holding it together. Pray. So let's start there. We can even stop there and just start humbling ourselves and pray. And then we can get to the next pieces as we go. But if we just start with those two, I think that that's kind of what we need, guys, right? Like, I'm part of Gen Z, technically. I'm in a little weird end of it. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen these needs. I've seen people who are hungry, who are searching, who are so tired of unsubstantial things that they're wanting something really, really real. And what's more real than the God who's made the universe that we can feel and touch?
Absolutely. That is so true. So true. Thank you for sharing that, Isaac. And, you know, something I would want to encourage every listener to be mindful of, and we as the church as well. It's so important for us to always point people to the Word of God, because the Word of God is Jesus. And the fact is, the Bible has been the best-selling book for centuries, and for good reason. It's authored by the Creator of the universe. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And so it's important to know God's Word is the most powerful book in the universe, the Word of God, the Bible. And so obviously there are times in which sometimes a young person may say, well, I don't believe in the Bible, or I don't read the Bible. Well, we're wise to point them to it anyway, because the Holy Spirit just may cause them to realize, you know, or have the thinking, well, maybe I can look and see what it's about. If it must be a best-selling book for all these centuries for some reason. And so pointing people to the Word of God, I think of two people, and I often like to highlight them. The names, some people would know, some wouldn't, but Josh McDowell and Lee Strobel, both of them as young men, were atheists. Both of them set out to disprove Jesus Christ. And in the midst of their research in seeking to diligently disprove Jesus, both of them made the big mistake of reading the Bible. And the Bible set them on fire. They both ended up getting saved. And both of them today are flaming evangelists for the kingdom of God. Why? There's power in the Word of God. Power for salvation, power to heal mind, body, and spirit, power to set free, power to point us in the right direction, power to give us wisdom and insight to help us understand what's right, what's wrong, what honors God, what doesn't honor God, what will bless your life, and what will destroy your life. It's truth. And so there's no greater source of truth than the wonderful Word of God. Patty, would you pray for believers to really seek to get into the Word more, but also to point people to the Word of God more as well?
Absolutely. Lord, I just thank you that we do have the cheat sheet. I think that's the perfect way to look at this, Lord. We have the right answers right in front of us, God. And those answers are found in your Word. And so, Lord, I just pray that a new fire and hunger for the Word of God would be just present in our lives. Lord, that we wouldn't find it a task to read the Word, but that we would hunger for it. We would look forward to our times of digging into the Word and receiving, Lord, from you, hearing from you, Father. I pray that for these listeners today, that even though they may not be in an academic setting or they may not be in a high-stress job somewhere, Lord, they all need you. And we all need to be in touch with you and in communication with you. So, Lord, I pray for a new hunger to just come upon us for the Word of God, that we would begin to hear the Holy Spirit unlight new pieces of the Word to us each and every day.
Amen. Amen. Isaac, would you pray also basically for people in that same direction that we would come to see? God's Word really is the answer to everything.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for truth. Father, in the Old Testament, it says that everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Father, we want to look to what's right in your eyes. We want to make you king, and we want to study. We want to grow mature through practice, through study, through looking to you to see what is right and holy. Father, whenever we walk in your ways, we walk in life because you are life. Whenever we walk in your ways, we walk in love because you are love. So, Father, help us to hunger for your Word and help us to really yearn to put your Word into action and to be obedient to you. Thank you so much, Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Father, to thank you for the privilege we as the church have of being a bright shining witness in the world that seems so dark today. Help us to be mindful, Lord, of the fact that your Word always has been and always will be the answer to everything, every problem, every challenge, every difficulty. Help us more and more to remember, Lord, that, again, Jesus really is the answer to everything, and that we have the message the world desperately needs to hear. It's the message the world is longing for, whether they realize that or not. Help us to be about your business every day. Help us individually to be the witnesses you'd have us to be, the bold witnesses. Help us collectively as the church to be reaching out, to be aggressively reaching out to a world that desperately needs your truth, your mercy, your love, your grace. Thank you for being the wonderful and blessed Heavenly Father that you are. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Patty, thank you so much for being with us today. It was an honor to have you in studio with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I would encourage every listener, please pray for Patty and other Christian professors and teachers on school campuses, that God would use them and set them on fire to be the witnesses he would have them to be. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening and you know you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, you know that you're not saved, and you know that you're not on your way to heaven, today is a good day to get saved. Today is a good day to commit your life to Christ and be saved and know that you have eternal life. If you'd like to make that step, would you simply, from your heart, pray this prayer with me, even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ and prayed that prayer just then, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We want to share with you, want to get into your hands some resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up, grow strong, and put down deep roots in your new walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do get in touch with us. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And again, if you're wanting to get a copy of the book that Sister Debbie Edge read from in the first segment, A Piece of Abner's Heart, again, her email was debmedge@gmail.com. Patty, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And keep up the great work being a witness for Christ on those campuses, all right? Please pray much again for Patty and for every teacher, every professor that you know, that God will use them mightily to point more and more young people to Jesus. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.